Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 12, our theme verse for 2023, and this will be the last message of the theme verse for the theme. Doesn't mean I won't ever preach this passage again because it's such a great passage, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, but we want to kind of close the door a little bit and give you a review and complete verse 2. Complete verse 2. We've gone through stewarding life, how to steward our family, how to steward our finances, how to steward health, that we ought to be a good steward of the resources that God has given us in every area of our lives, and we ought to steward our time, and all those things we've come through this past year that we have preached on. And the last several messages have been on stewarding thoughts. In fact, we preached 4 messages on stewarding our thoughts because thoughts produce action. What you think is what you do. And so just putting a lot of emphasis upon that. So we're going to give you the final message of that series, stewarding our thoughts, or today would be renewal of the mind. Renewal of the mind. How your mind can be renewed. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I looked right up and then didn't look over. Romans 12, I'm a little nervous this morning. First set of the year, got a lot on my mind. Y'all pray for me. Got a lot of former staff members this morning who are preaching other places and just have a lot going on in their plates, like Brother Latta and Brother Leper. I think about Brother Leper losing his brother, but also losing his grandmother. We have Brother Jonathan Moore preaching in Bryan, Texas, down there at College Station this morning, basically looking at going there as pastor. And then just Brother Wiggins is sick this morning. He was texting me, and first send of the new year, and he can't preach. And just a lot of those things going on this morning, and a lot of my thoughts. So I need a little more runway this morning to kind of get my thoughts honed in. And I'm ADD anyway, so this is very difficult. All right, so let's try this again. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren. So he's talking to Christians. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for these many who need your tender touch this morning. I think about Brother Latta, Brother Wiggins, Brother Leper. Lord, be in prayer for Brother Jonathan. Lord, just give him grace this morning and wisdom. I pray that you would be with our services here. Lord, may you be honored and glorified. God, we just pray that you would be here, that your spirit be evident among us. And Lord, just help my thoughts and help me in keeping my thoughts here. And Lord, help me to say exactly what you'd want me to say. Help me, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A steward is one who manages the affairs of others. A steward is one who manages the stuff of another. Understand that our life, our bodies are the Lord Jesus Christ. We simply manage our lives for Him. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, if you're a child of God, then you should be managing your life for Him. Here we see that Paul begs the Christians that they give their lives to the Lord, that they yield their lives to the Lord. So what greater message could I preach this morning on the first Sunday of the new year and that challenging you from the Word of God that we present our bodies, our lives, a living sacrifice to God, that we ought to yield to Him, that we ought to yield to Him. And he says there, I beseech thee, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you just stop and see what it's there for, right? The context. Paul's saying, in light of the context, in light of what I've already said, present your bodies, present your lives a sacrifice to God. So he says, because of God's mercy. God's mercy is demonstrated in many different ways, but because of God's mercy, by the way, he is merciful. She just sang about it. Again, he's compassionate. He's just. He's fair. He's of divine pity. He thinks about us. He cares for us. Mercy is not getting the punishment we deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. But God in his mercy sent his son to die and to be buried and rise again from the dead that we might have eternal life, that we might escape the wrath of God upon sin, not getting the punishment we deserve. So he says, therefore, and really I think here because of the way in which the book of Romans is divided out, the way it is organized, is that he's really reaching back to the first 11 chapters, all the way back, all the first 11 chapters, and pulling them forward and saying, because of what God has done. In verses 1 through chapter 1 through 3, we see that, we are all guilty before God. We're all sinners. Romans chapter 1 through 3 makes it very clear that whether the pagan man, whether you're a religious person, whether you're a Jew, everyone is a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 4 and 5, Paul gives illustrations of those who had received Christ in the Old Testament, talking about David and how Abraham got saved. How did Abraham get saved? Did he get saved by his works? No, he got saved by trusting in the future Messiah who would die and be buried and rise again from the dead. And it was accounted to him, the Bible says, for righteousness. How did David get saved? King David get saved by his works? No, David did not get saved by his works. He got saved by grace through faith and putting his trust in the future Messiah, that king that would sit on his throne forever, putting his trust in him, his trust in the promises that was given to him, the trust, the promises that were given to Abraham. That's chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 6, the transition takes place. We're now new creatures in Christ. We were sinners. We put our faith and trust in Christ as David did and as Abraham did. And we put our faith and trust in him. We're saved from our sins. We're rescued from the penalty of sin. Amen? Rescued. Pulled out of the fire and put our feet on the solid rock. Amen? That rock is Jesus. In chapter 6, Paul says, listen, you do not have to give up. You do not have to give in to the power of sin. You've been given victory over the power of sin. You've been given power to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil in your life. And then in chapter 7, Paul says, I identify in that I know there's a struggle. Paul says in chapter 7, there is a struggle between that old man and the new man, between doing right and doing wrong, even after you're saved. In fact, 1 John, John the apostle says, to Christians, he says, if you have no sin, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar, right? As Christians, we're just sinners saved by grace. And Paul said, there's a struggle within me as a Christian, as a born-again believer who's been saved, who's been rescued. There's a struggle within me. The things that I would not, that I do. The things that I would, that do, I do not. But he said what? Thanks be to God who giveth me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there can and there will be victory. Chapter 8 of Romans is about the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us that victory. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to take off the old man and put on the new man, renewing us. Chapter 9, 10, and 11 is God's dealing with the nation of Israel, past, present, and future. And then that brings us to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is the practical. Chapter 12 is taking those first 11 chapters and applying them. And Paul is saying, therefore, because you were sinners, not deserving of God's great gift of salvation, because you were sinners, Christ did come. He died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And David got saved by grace through faith, and Abraham got saved by grace through faith. Put your faith in him. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, again, it's not about whether or not you're a good person. It's not whether or not that gets you to heaven. That doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Doesn't matter whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran. Doesn't matter whether you're non-denominational or interdenominational. Doesn't matter what church you join. Joining a church doesn't get you to heaven. Giving offerings and giving to Goodwill or giving to the Red Cross and doesn't get you to heaven. No, the Bible says, our roadmap, our guide says, that it's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved or rescued. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is found by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to do anything because Christ did all the work for me. Salvation is free. Aren't you glad of that? If you could work your way there, then Jesus would not have needed to go to the cross. He would not have needed to die and be buried and rise again. But he did all those things for us. The creator of the universe became part of his creation. He entered the human race. Born of a virgin. Didn't have an earthly daddy. Received no sinful nature. And therefore lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time having a sinful thought. Never one time performing a sinful deed. He was perfect in disposition and desire and deed. And yet he went to a cross. Not just a cross, he went to the cross. And there he died. And the Bible says that the Lord God had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took the sins of the world upon himself. And there he paid for my sins. He paid my sinful debt. He paid for my sinful record. And when I put my faith and trust in him, and by the way, they put him in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. He's alive. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And when I put my trust in him, my sinful record gets erased, and his sinless record's put in his place. Man, what a wonderful truth. That is the mercy of God. And Paul says, in light of that mercy, in light of what God has done, you ought to. He said, in fact, he begs them, present your lives a living sacrifice to the Lord. Present your lives to him. You've been rescued by him. He's given his life for you. He condescended for you. He humbled himself. Now give your life to him, a living sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices were brought by those who were sinners and brought to the temple. And there those sacrifices were placed upon an altar and sacrificed. They died. And so we, as children of God, we as born again children of God, should die to self. We should cross over the Jordan River, die to self in total dependence upon the Lord, saying, Lord, my life is yours. Whatever you want with it, whatever you want to do with it, Lord, I'm just going to manage it for you. I yield it to you. I yield it to you. One of the little phrases in this day and age among some of the preachers who are a little bit of the teachers having itching ears is living your best life. That phrase, living your best life. Nobody's ever heard that. You want to live your best life? Present your body a living sacrifice. Because the Lord knows a lot better what to do with your life than you do. And living your life for him will include a lot more joy than living a life for self. For self. Then he says, not only should we present our bodies a living sacrifice, but because of what Christ did for us and what God has done for us, we should present that life holy and acceptable unto him. And understanding that when we got saved, that we became holy before God. I'm thankful for that. So positionally, I am holy before God because my sinful record's been erased and Christ's sinless record's been put in his place. So therefore, I am holy before God because, by the way, sin can't enter heaven. And so therefore, I am holy before God positionally. But practically, I'm still a sinner. My standing before God is based upon the merits of Jesus Christ and his life, his death, and his resurrection. My standing before God is based upon Jesus Christ. But my state here on earth is still that of a sinner, still that of one who struggles to do right and to do wrong. Paul says we as Christians ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. What does that mean? It means a willing vessel, yes, but a vessel that's meet or fit for the master's use. If I go somewhere to eat, I go to Cheddar's or I go to Chili's or Texas Roadhouse. And this happens, it doesn't happen very often, but they bring out the stuff and they bring out the meal and they bring out a cup and they bring out some sweet tea. And I look at my cup and there's some junk on it. You ever had that happen? Like, I'm not drinking this. It's not fit. The vessel's not fit for sweet tea. Luscious, glorious, wonderful sweet tea. This cup, this vessel's not meet or fit for that sweet tea. And in the same vein, we as Christians ought to be vessels meet or fit for the Master's use. Holiness is not just being set aside from sin, or, you know, it's being set aside or set apart from sin unto God. The Pharisees set aside themselves from sin, at least outwardly, and they were not holy. Amen? Some of you understand? But we ought to be set aside from sin unto God. It is God who makes us holy. The Old Testament, God said to the children of Israel, "Be holy, for I am holy." But in the New Testament, it has also given us that same command. So don't think you get out of it just because that's an Old Testament. No, the New Testament repeats it. It says to New Testament saints, "Be holy, for I am holy." It's a command that we as Christians live a holy life, that we ought to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. You see, Paul is saying here, listen, you've been given victory over the penalty of sin, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad my sins are forgiven, and I'm no longer on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen? But also, I've been given victory over the power of sin. I don't know how to yield myself as an instrument of unrighteousness, Romans chapter 6 says, but I can yield myself as an instrument of God, acceptable to Him, useful for Him, useful for Him. Then one day I will be given victory over the presence of sin when Jesus returns. I'm looking forward to that. But we ought to be separated from God, separated from the world unto God. This is reasonable, he says, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. It's logical. It's not absurd. Once you understand what Christ has done for you, it's not absurd for Him to ask you or to command you to give your life to Him. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for me. He didn't have to. He did. Why? Because He loves you. Because He loves me. I'm thankful He loves me, don't you? I'm glad He died for all, not just some, not just the elect. He died for all. All can be saved. And He wishes that all would be saved. His desire is that all would be saved. And then He goes on to say this: be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul said here, listen, you ought to live, you ought to give your lives to Him. It's reasonable for you to give your life to Him, and you should not conform to this world. Now, what does he mean by conformed? It means to be molded, or it means to be shaped. It means to resemble, or the likeness of. In other words, we are to be conformed not to this world, but be conformed to the image of His Son, that is Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." We are to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, not this world. By the way, that world simply means the world. It means this age that we live in. We should not conform to the age in which we live in. We should not conform to the world system that we are living in. That word world there has to do with schemes as well. In the Greek, it means schemes. No, we should not be conformed to the schemes of this world. Well, what is the world then? Does the Bible give us a definition? Yeah, it does. 1 John 2:16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world." You know the goals of this world, what they are? What is the goals of this world? What is the goals of this age in which we're living in? Well, it's pleasure. It's fun. The goal is to have pleasure and fun, to have all the fun we can while we can, live it up while we can, because this is all there is. You know, it's gone after this. This world goals is to have fortune, wealth. And the world system and the world, the age in which we live in, works very hard to become rich, to become wealthy. The lust of the eyes. Then the pride of life, fame. Fun, fortune, and fame. That's the world system. That's the age in which we live in. Have all the fun you can. Set on the can. Fortune, had work as hard as you can, as long as you can, and live it up to gain as much as you can. Well, listen, you can't take it with you. Never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul. And pride. Pride. Fame. Does fame bring joy? Ask Robin Williams. Ask many of the Hollywood elite and many of the rich. Does fun, fortune, and fame bring joy? Absolutely not. Does it bring happiness? It might for a little bit. Man, Texas Roadhouse gives me pleasure for a little bit. But then it does this. There's consequences, right? I know I'm being silly, but there's consequences. There's consequences. Fun, fortune, and fame. And Paul said, listen, don't conform to the age in which we live in. You see, Satan has three chisels, and these three chisels are fun, fortune, and fame. And he is chiseling away at you, trying to conform you to the world system. He's trying to entice you using the world's system, the age in which we live in. Man, the lust of the flesh, this old flesh is, it craves so many things. We have to keep under our bodies and bring into submission. All these things the devil uses, Satan. By the way, Satan's real. And he's working on you to conform you to the world's likeness. 1 John 2:15, so verse 15 and verse 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't love the world system. You shouldn't be in love with the age in which we're in and its system and its schemes. You see, somebody would want a bigger house so they could have a bigger house than the person next to them. They want people to look up to them. They want all these things that the world system has. But to get there, many of them lose their families because they worked too long, too many hours. There's consequences for striving to meet the world's goals. When you strive to meet the Lord's goals for your life, the consequences are amazing. They're not, the consequences is a negative. The reward is amazing. Your best life you can live is a life lived for the Lord. Your best life that you can live is a life following in the steps of Jesus and being conformed to the image of His Son. It's being conformed to the likeness of Christ. It's living a selfless life. You'll be a better dad if you live a selfless life. You'll be a better husband. And you'll be a better mom. You'll be a better wife if you live a selfless life, if you live a life like Jesus. And your life will be full of joy and peace and contentment. Doesn't mean you won't have any problems. But I'm thankful God will take us through those problems. That God will grow us through the problems. That God will grow us through the circumstances as we've preached on the last 3 or 4 weeks. But we need to think straight. That's my last point. Think straight. If you're going to buy a new car, and you go work the deal, trade in your cash, whatever else you're doing it. Many times we get caught up in the deal. I've made it a practice in my adult life. I do not buy a car when I make the deal. I go home. And if that salesman tells me that deal is not good tomorrow, I say, well, I won't be back then. I go home and I sleep on it. I don't want to get caught up in it. I want to think straight. And sometimes in the moment, you don't think like you ought to think. You get caught up in it, right? It's like going to the grocery store when you're hungry. Don't do that. You're going to purchase something big? Go home and sleep on it. Pray about it. Bring it before the Lord. Think straight. And so many times we don't think straight. You should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transformed, it means in the Greek, it's the same word or the word for metamorphosis we have in the English language. Metamorphosis. Think about that caterpillar turning into a butterfly. One thing becomes a totally different thing. One creature becoming a totally different creature. I'm thankful when I got saved, I became a new creation a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I received a new nature, a new desires, a new want to. Been transformed. A radical change from one life and nature to another. From a worldly image to the image of Christ. I was thinking about Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Remember, we just got through singing all the Christmas songs. One of the phrases in there is, Adam's likeness now efface or erase. Stamp thine image in its place. Adam's likeness erased, Christ's image put in its place. How does this happen? How does this renewed mind happen? How are our minds, by the way, first off, you got to recognize that your mind needs to be renewed. Don't raise your hand. How many of you understand we need a renewed mind? And really it can happen every day. The inward man is renewed day by day. To change our way of thinking that began when we received Christ as our Savior. It began when we were given a new life, when the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation comes to indwell us. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, aren't you? Sometimes we take it for granted, but when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt me. And He's there. He's there to help me, to comfort me, but He's there to guide me. The Holy Ghost is there. I was one thing, and now I'm something different. Romans 6 says we have passed from death to life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I live by faith, and Christ lives in me. And I walk after the Spirit. I'm to walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. You can look up some of these verses later. Titus 3, 3 through 5, Galatians 2, 20. Ephesians chapter 4 says we ought to be renewed by the Spirit of your mind. Renewed by the Spirit. What Spirit? That's the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to renew us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, speaking of our daily life, speaking of our daily walk with Jesus. Stay with me for a second. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 uses the illustration that it's the Word of God that washes us. Stay with me. So, we are and have the ability to have a renewed mind. And you shall be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know they have proven now scientifically that the mind can be renewed? Back in the 30s and 40s, they thought the mind, once you got to, you know, a certain age, around 12, 13, 14, that the mind was kind of fixed and basically unable to do, you know, not as pliable and whatever. Well, they've found out that's not true. And I know we have doctors in the room. I also have people with degrees in psychology in the room. I understand that you do stuff above my pay grade, okay? And so what I'm going to do is illustrate it way down here, because this is where I dwell, okay? But the mind is an amazing thing. Neuroplasticity, I can't say it very good, but neuroplasticity, that the mind is gray matter of some sort, and I kind of think of it like Play-Doh. It's like Play-Doh. And you have these neural paths and all these things as you think, you create little pathways in your brain. It creates little channels. Think about Play-Doh again. You know, you play with Play-Doh, you take a little stick and you kind of mold it into a circle and into a sphere, and then you take a little stick, baby, and create a little channel, another little channel, another little channel. That's the way your brain is. As you think, it creates little channels, neural pathways, fires on one end and then fires at the other. There's also chemical things, reactions that happen. There's dopamine, and there's two or three other different chemicals that the brain deals with, and all of that, blah, 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 blah. But it comes down to this, and that is, the more you think about something, the deeper the channel gets in your brain. Think about it in athletics. If I'm going to play baseball and I want to become good at baseball, then I'm going to practice playing baseball. And I'm going to keep practicing it. Hopefully I find somebody who can teach me the right way and not the wrong way, right? I love it. When our kids were little, baseball, I think it was Caleb, the first one, could not get him to stay in the batter's box. When he started kid pitch and when they started pitching at him, he just, he'd back up because he didn't want to get hit by the ball. So what do? Well, we put something behind him where he couldn't back up. And Daddy pitched to him, which is dangerous. And if he tried to back up, I'd hit him on purpose. I said, if you back up again, I'm going to hit you again. Of course, I may have done it by accident anyway, because it was a 50-50 chance when I'm pitching. But, keep your elbow up. All those things you learn in baseball, all those things that you learn and muscle memory as you do it more and more and more, it just becomes more natural. Why? Well, muscle memory is involved. I understand that. But the brain, it makes this channel deeper and wider. Exaggerating. What's great about this is, if there is negative in your life, if there's addiction in your life, whether it's a chemical addiction to prescription drugs or, cocaine, or whether it's pornography, and what you have done in your brain is you have allowed those channels to run deeper and deeper and deeper because that's what you think about. It's the same thing if you've got stress and anxiety in your life, you allow that stress and anxiety, and that's what you think about all the time. Hours a day you spend thinking about that problem in your life. You know what it does? I'm getting Play-Doh now. It just makes the valley deeper. It makes that neural path stronger, if you would. But you know you can change that. And the brain is able to change. Well, you say, well, how do you do that? You create and you stop thinking about those things and you start thinking about the things you should be thinking about, which is what we preached on the last 4 or 5 weeks. Philippians chapter 4. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are honest. You remember the little, whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are of a good report. And when you think about the negative things, you replace that thought with a thought you should have, a biblical thought. Memorize a scripture. Read your Bible. Colossians 3:10 says that we'll be renewed by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look up the verse, Colossians 3:10. In other words, when I read my Bible and I learn more about Jesus, my mind is being renewed by that. When I'm tempted to do something wrong, and when I'm tempted for that wrong thought, and I quote a scripture in my brain, or maybe I do it out loud and people think I'm crazy, but I quote a scripture to try to get my thoughts changed from that negative in my life to something positive, it actually creates a new channel. Think about the Play-Doh. It creates a new channel in my brain. And the more I think about things that I should be thinking about, those things which are pure, those things which are honest, those things which are good, those things which God would approve, that channel gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And guess what happens to the other channel? Think about Play-Doh again. It just kind of starts filling in. And so my thoughts don't go to that negative in my life as easy as it used to. Because I've thought about this so long, the channel is deeper over here now, and my mind has a tendency to go that way. I'm just saying, you can look this up, you can read it, you can watch some YouTube videos on it. I've done a poor job studying it, but I get the idea. I'm thankful that the Bible is backed up by science. It says you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, how is that to happen? It's happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's happening by way of us learning more about Jesus. Reading our Bibles and having that daily walk with God as we ought to have. It's that just being the Christian you ought to be and spending time with the Lord and every day and reading your Bible and memorizing Scripture. It's surrounding yourself with things, like I said last Sunday, it's surrounding yourself with good godly music instead of that awful negative music and more immoral music. It's bad. It's surrounding yourself with good TV and not bad TV, watching out what you allow to go in your eye gate, like watching out what you allow to go into your mouth, and watching out what you allow, all these things. And the more you do those things which are pure, honest, and of good report, the deeper the channel gets. And of course, again, there's chemicals involved, and that would be a whole nother message to try to explain some of those things, but you can change. You can change. The Bible says you can. You say, I'm 80 years old. I can't. No. They found out scientifically your brain can still change at every age. It may not be as pliable. Think about Play-Doh again. What happens when you eat Play-Doh out? Starts to dry up. I'm just not picking on old people. But it doesn't mean that another channel can't be formed and be made. So don't use your age as an excuse. There are many things you can do to help keep your brain healthy. You know, learn something new. Man, the internet is, we talk negatively about it all the time, which it is a lot of negative. But man, there's so much you can learn that's right in your hand. I enjoy YouTube videos and how to do things and whatever. I learn stuff all the time. Like, that is so cool. It's amazing, isn't it? I know I'm running late, but understand that it's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. It's the working of grace in your life as you attain knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the reading of His Word, through the preaching of His Word, through good godly music, all these influences, godly influences in your life, that your mind can be renewed. You can overcome that stubborn habit in your life. It's scientifically proven. They prove it pretty well now. They used to do it and talk about that if you were trying to create a good habit or quit a bad habit, you need to do it for 21 days. If you're trying to create a good habit, do it for 21 days. And that really has been kind of proven to be kind of that 3 weeks or maybe a little longer for some others, maybe shorter for others, but about that 3 or 4 weeks in which your brain begins to make that ditch deep enough where that becomes routine. Hello? You can change. Grow in the knowledge of Christ and be renewed in your mind. Why? So that we might know His will, might know the perfect will of God. Why is that? Because your best life is not what these contemporary tickling ear evangelists on TV like to say. Your best life is a life sacrificed. Your best life is a life that's dependent. Your best life is a humble life, a selfless life, lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. So many out there in the world today, their goal is the world system, fun, fortune, and fame. It doesn't bring joy and happiness. Living for the Lord does. Let's all stand. We'll sing hymn 160. Hymn 160. I would encourage some of you who want to do some research on that. It really is pretty easy. Just go to the internet. There's a bunch of junk, too. You got to wade through it, but be careful. But there's a lot of things you can learn and do. But I can tell you right now, you won't change. We cannot change. You can make all those positive things in your life, and it certainly will put you on a path to change. But the only way to truly change is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By relying upon the Holy Spirit as a child of God to make the changes in your life. And total dependence upon Him. Lord, I can't change on my own. But Lord, I know You can change me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this wonderful promise, a wonderful truth that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I pray that we take Colossians 3:10 to heart, that renewal takes place as we gain knowledge of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. As we can grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can be changed. Our minds can be renewed. I'm thankful for the transformation that took place at salvation, that metamorphosis, Lord, and I thank You that You've saved me. Lord, if there's someone here this morning in our congregation or maybe watching online that is not saved, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would convict them today. They would see their need for salvation. Lord, that they would accept You today. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus as we sing.
Oh, soul, are You weary and troubled? No light in the darkness You see. this life door above, look at the sea. Your and life were abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things in heaven will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
All right, please be seated. We'll have Brother Kushel come and give some announcements. And again, the first Sunday of the year, a lot going on. Encourage you to get involved and jump right in for the new year.
All right, if you have your bulletin out, please look at that, and you'll see this is a good way to help channel your week and to try to schedule your week. Today, we have a special day. The Routledges are with us today, and it's great to have them here. Livy's baby shower is here, and that'll be 2:30 today, 2:30 to 4:30 in the Activity Center across the way. And then also this evening at 5:30, we have our pit crew or preachers in training meeting as well. And then this evening is a special night as the Lord has guided our pastor and the direction that our church ought to head as the under-shepherd. Pray for your pastor and pray that the Lord give him clarity of thought and mind and direction and decisiveness about how to lead here in the ministry. And so he's going to reveal the vision for the church and cast that this evening. And so please be here at 6 p.m. Looking forward to that. Also, nomination of officers will take place tonight as well during the 6 p.m. service. And then this is good to know. Master's Club resumes this Wednesday. And so that's very exciting. I know all of you workers are excited about it. The children are just chomping at the bits, ready to go. And that's for ages 3 through the 6th grade. And that starts at 6:45 each Wednesday night. During that same time, actually starting at 6:30, the teenagers meet in the Activity Center upstairs. And they have a great time together as well. They look into God's Word and enjoy one another's fellowship. Hope that you can be there for that. Also, we have a special brunch for our widows and widowers this Saturday at 10 a.m. That'll be in the coffee shop area here in this building. Also, tonight, after the service, there will be a youth group parent meeting, and that will be in 105. So on the other side of this wall, 105, that music room or the faith classroom, that'll be there. Tonight, we have choir at 5 p.m., and then also organized soul winning and visitation is kicking back into full gear here. So this Tuesday at 10 a.m. and then 7 p.m.
It's good to see Miss Jan Hall here this morning, and several others we've been missing here of late, been out sick, Brother Herb Smith, but also good to see the Clems this morning, and Miss Ratledge. I don't want to even think about it. I'm renewing my thinking on that. It's the Lord's will. Our mission of the week, Brother Josh Hamilton. I remember him in prayer there in Scotland. Brother Mark McLareth there in Atlanta, Georgia. Remembering these in prayer. It is good to have Joshua Herrera come this morning and join our church by letter. And we're looking forward to him. He'll be graduating from the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary in May and still praying and looking at what God would have him to do. And so in the ministry. And so we're thankful to have him come to be a part. All in favor of accepting him into the membership of the church, let it be known by good hearty amen. Guys, we're so great to have you. We'll come by and give you a right hand of fellowship here in just a moment. And so, masters, if you come forward, we'll take up the offering this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he had purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor in necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so as we give this morning, let's give with a cheerful heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, love you, and praise you for the wonderful blessings you've bestowed upon us. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity we can to give some of that back. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go to the hospital. Man, enjoy that and love that song. I know there's lots of things going on. Remember that the Ivy Memorial is tomorrow at 2 p.m. here at the church, if you haven't heard that yet. Brother Ivy, Frank Ivy, one of our longtime church members, passed away, and so we want to come and honor him tomorrow. Hope you'll be able to attend that, 2 p.m. here at the church, and so encourage you to pray for the family there. It's already been stated, we have pit crew meeting today, but also at the same time we'll do baptismal class. And so tonight we will be baptizing a couple. I know there's some others who are in the wings wanting, are waiting to be baptized, and we'll get to you guys as well another time. And so, but that baptismal class and the pit crew meeting will happen in the Victory classroom across from the coffee shop. I know there's a jam-packed schedule tonight. My goal is to let you out on time tonight. It's going to happen. So come back, be with us tonight. Look forward to revealing the new theme for the year tonight. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. You come by, give Brother Josh Herrera right-hand fellowship. Let him know you're glad that he'd be a part of our church family. And again, looking forward to what God has in store for his life. We're going to have Brother Chris come and dismiss us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in your house today, Lord. We're so thankful for your word and the truth, Lord, and I pray that we would continue to leave here today, Lord, renewed, feeling renewed, Lord. I may pray that we renew our minds each and every day through your word, and may we live a life pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the dog and we are the love.